Hey, welcome to the Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs podcast. I am your host, David Ubeda. And in this podcast, we'll share practical life hacks designed to shape your best life, love, health, and business. Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs starts right now. Hey, welcome back to the Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs podcast. I am your host, David Ubeda. Our guest today is an award-winning broadcaster and the first Latina covering the sport of MMA in the United States. She's covered top MMA promotions like the UFC, Strikeforce, and Bellator, to name a few. She is the 2015 MMA Woman of the Year, the unforgettable Andrea Calle. And we'll dive into her story when we return. Hey, welcome back to the Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs podcast. I am with the lovely, the talented, the unforgettable Andrea Calle. Say hello, Andrea.
Hey guys, how are you?
I'm so honored to have you on the podcast today. And thank you so much for taking the time to hang out with us. So I have you on this podcast because your story is very unique. Matter of fact, it is really inspiring. I had a chance to take a look at it, have had some conversations with you. Love your energy, love your authenticity, and just wanted to share your story with the audience. So tell us a little bit about your background, where you've come from, where you're at today, and then we can also dabble on where you're headed.
Perfect. Well, I was born and raised in Colombia. I moved to the United States 20 years ago. I came here, I finished my high school here, and I went to college. I graduated from International Finance and Marketing from the University of Miami, and then I did a master's in entertainment business from Full Sail University. And but I've been, for the past almost 8, 9 years, I've been covering the sport of MMA. I was the first Latina covering the sport in the United States. I'm very proud of it. Right now I have the chance to work with actually the creator of the UFC, Campbell McLaren. He's my current boss in Combate America. So back then, 8 years ago, it was really fun because it was really the only females covering the sport. It was Karen Bryan, that right now she does like all the Fox stuff for UFC, and myself. We were the two females doing, you know, doing MMA and covering all the big promotions. At that time, we had like UFC, Strikeforce, Bellator, you know, and a lot of the local promotions. So it was really, really fun. And I still do it, you know. I still have a chance of living my dream and having fun and enjoying what I do. I currently do the live commentating for a show, Combate America, where Fridays on Univision Deportes. So it's a lot of fun. You know, we're 9 networks. We're very proud of it. Actually, right now we're killing with the ratings, and you know, we're very proud because they support the Latinos. They're the first promotion to actually focus in building the Latinos. So they scout, you know, fighters from Spain, Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, and it's very, you know, inspiring because we have great fighters. We have that guerrero, you know, the warrior in us. So it's amazing to see all these guys grow, the promotion grow. I've been with them for the past 4 years, and it's been such an amazing and beautiful journey. And I'm very proud and happy to be part of Combate America, and that's where I'm right now.
So let me ask you this. You came here to the U.S. Was English a second language? Did you have to learn it? What was that journey
like? Yes. Oh, my God. So we, in, you know, back home, we were very advanced in math and everything. So, you know, I, as soon as I got here, I was AP physics, AP calculus, all of that. But my English was, you know, it wasn't great, but there I had the chance to go to a bilingual school. So we did go, you know, we did see English and everything, but never like, so I didn't want to go to East or anything like that, because that would hurt me to get into school, into like college. So I went to regular English, but that was like, yeah, that was the hardest class for me, you know, in high school, but so, I made it happen.
Yeah. I mean, so you're a grad student. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Full Sail is an incredible school out in Florida. And because I used to live in Florida.
Oh.
And what else has this whole journey? I mean, did you envision yourself being a commentator?
Oh no.
Watching people, you know, cut their with blood all over the place. It's
just, that was like the last thing ever. So I was doing a master's, not the one in entertainment business, and I've had a friend, and he's like, I was telling him, oh my God, I'm broke, I'm going to school full time, I can't work. He's like, oh, you should model. That was 10 years ago. And I'm like, model? He's like, yeah, just do it, you know, it's great, because, you know, you just fit your schedule however you want, you do it around your, you know, your school, and it's perfect. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then one day, a friend comes, and he's like, you know what, I have these two friends, they have a show called El Octagono, and it's an MMA show, and they're looking for the face of the show, they want a Latina female, and you have, you know, that charisma and everything. I'm like, but you're crazy, I've never worked on TV, and I have no clue about MMA, I barely know, you know, what the cage is. No, you're crazy. He's like, oh, just meet them, they're Colombian, they're gonna love you. I'm like, fine, let's go. So I meet the guys, that was like a Monday or something, and they're like, great, see you Friday at this live event, we're gonna see how you do. I'm like, oh my God. I get there, and they're like, oh, look, your first interview is Hector El Macho Camacho and Clay Guida. And I'm like, what? I'm like, first, I didn't know who they were at the time. I know, I'm so sorry. And and I was so nervous. Like, you don't understand, like, I've never, not a boyfriend, not a roller coaster has never given me the butterflies that I felt that day.
I'm sorry to hear that.
That's when I knew that I wanted to do this for the rest of my life. So I told the guys, I'm like, look, I've never been on camera. I've never, you know, done anything with MMA, but if you give me a chance, I promise you I'll study and I'll go to broadcasting and I'll do whatever I have to do. Wow. To make it happen. And I did.
So prior to hitting Full Sail, you were studying a different program.
Yeah, totally different. I was doing Oriental Medicine. I was already doing my intern, my residency, because you have
right,
to
so
do.
Right, so you finished the courses. Then.
I finished all the classes I was doing. Actually, I had like 6 months left to do to take my exam, my state exam, but I never finished that. And it's a 4-year program. So I did like 3 years, like 3 years. So I was missing maybe a little bit more than 6 months. But yeah, I was already doing all my clinical hours.
So it's amazing how some of the things that never happened in your life wind up being the biggest blessings that kind of just direct you in the path that you needed to go.
Yes, it's been a blessing. You know, I feel blessed. One of the things is, I think a lot of people go through life not being able to find something that they truly love, and they're able to do that for work. Mm-hmm. So I feel blessed that I have a work that doesn't feel like work, that I love, I enjoy, and you know, I thank God every single day for allowing me to do something that I love.
I couldn't agree with you more. Every day I wake up, I'm like, thank you, Father, for another opportunity to serve, you know, my clients and all that good stuff. And it doesn't feel like work, which is probably why for a stint there I was, what, 3.5 years, 18 hour days, you know, it flies.
Exactly.
You wake up and your eyes are open and you're ready to hit it.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about what it's like to be a commentator in one of the fastest rising sports really in the world, with a global presence. UFC just got bought out for over $4 billion. I believe it was
4.2 2 years ago.
And it was like a $3 million investment, not a bad ROI, if you ask me.
Yes.
Right?
Actually, they bought it from my boss, $4 million, 15 years ago. The Fertitta brothers and Dana White. And yeah, it was really hard for my boss when they sold it for $4.2 billion, only 13 years after he sold it. That was painful for him, but it's, for me, it's just amazing. I've had such an amazing journey. I've seen a lot of these guys grow so much, and in the sport, you know, it really has changed. The fighters are so evolved. And we see it, you know, unfortunately. It requires, the more evolved you get, the more it requires from your body, and that's why we see now so many injuries and stuff. But it's amazing, and the guys in the sport are truly warriors, and they're truly incredible. Their stories are amazing. These guys, I mean, I think it's like any pro athlete. You don't understand what they go through unless you're really close to them.
Sure.
And, you know, being a pro athlete is so hard because it requires so many hours of your day to dedicate to something that you never go if it's you never know if it's really going to pay your bills. You know, like we see all these guys in NFL and NBA, oh, you know, I love their life. They went through so many hours of intense training and body aches and, you know, injuries and all of that without even knowing if they were going to be able to pay their bills with that. Because, and we see it all the time. You know, an injury after, you know, 10 years of being high school, college, careers in, you know, football and any other sport, and 1 second and all their careers out, you know. So it's painful to see that, because you see the good and the bad. You see the guys that feel that they're great and they never are. They're just, you know, close to just making it, but never make it to that big promotion, to that big chance. And, you know, just suffering to be able to pay the bills. And because they don't get paid unless they fight,
right,
you know,
right,
it's,
right.
You can do a whole training camp, and if for some reason that fight doesn't happen, those 2-3 months that you put into it, you have to pay your trainers, you have to pay this and that. If that fight doesn't happen, you will not get paid. And you will not have money to pay your bills, to pay your coach, to pay your gym, to pay your food, to pay everything. So there's so much behind that. And seeing these guys grow and seeing these guys being so dedicated to, and at the beginning, you know, when they're just turned pro and they're fighting for $500 or fighting for whatever they're able to sell in tickets and stuff, it's, you know, you really have to have love for what you do. You can't say that you're doing it because of the money. A lot of us that work a 9-to-5 job can say, I do this because I get paid well. I do this because I pay my bills with it.
Right.
Many of these guys, they will never say that. They do this because they really, truly love what they're doing. And maybe they're going to be able to pay their bills with it. So it's so different.
So that's such a powerful analogy and example. Thank you for sharing that. It leads me to ask you this question. You're an entrepreneur yourself. You own a couple of other businesses, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so what has working and watching the work ethic of your average fighter versus the elite fighter, what do you think the difference is? What have you witnessed is the difference between someone who's elite and at the top of their sport, at their game, their weight class, who's a champion, versus someone who is not?
I think it's so many things. I think sometimes it's being at the right place at the right time. Sometimes, you know, plus of course being always training, being always prepared, having the right corner, the right training camp, the right group, the right support. You know, it's a whole thing. We don't understand that the people are, that's why it's so important to surround yourself with the right people.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they make the difference. You know, we see a lot of these guys that have a lot of talent, but the training camp sucks. So they go in and they're very talented. They have, you know, they have that in their blood. They have the right movements, but they're not technical. They don't, you know, they don't advance. They get to a point where they're not growing with the sport. So that's when you start seeing them get stuck. And that's why we see a lot of the guys, you know, change training camps, and we don't agree with them. That's another story. Anyways, but yeah, I feel that it's the whole support system you have around you. It's, you know, your training, your mindset, your family, because they need a lot of support from their family and a lot of understanding. The weight cuts are crazy. Their mood changes are crazy. So everything around them makes that elite from the regular one. And like I said, you know, knowing when to say, okay, my body needs to rest, you know, before a bad injury happens and they get, you know, they get so injured that they can't continue their career. So it's a balance. It's a balance of knowing yourself, accepting your surroundings, surrounding yourself with a great team, and making it work.
That's good stuff. Good stuff. So as we discussed a little bit ago, you're an entrepreneur yourself. You have this high profile position, which you handle very well with class. I really admire the way you handle yourself, especially in a role like this. The second piece is, as an entrepreneur, tell us a little bit about some of your other endeavors.
Okay, we do, my family, we own a construction company. We do low housing real estate. So that's been around, we've had that company for over 20 years. So I'm very involved in the real estate side and investments and flipping and managed property management and stuff like that. And I love that because it's a very different world. But I feel that it's probably one of the businesses that gives you the most security if you know how to do it, sure, right? Sure. Your house is never going to walk away from you.
Is that here in the U.S. or abroad?
The physical construction, we do it back home in Colombia, the low housing. But here we have real estate investments. Got and it. I manage the properties. I've always said, you know, it's the businesses are great, but the most tangible business that you can ever have is real estate.
Sure.
Your house is never going to walk away from you. It's never going to say, I don't want to go to work. I don't want, you know, it's going to be there and you're going to get your rent. And if you don't get your rent, you just evict them and you move on and you rent it again, or you sell it once you feel it's done its cycle and you invest again and everything. So I love that. I love that side of the business. And then right now I'm working on the beauty side. I'm opening a shop. It's like a beauty center, like a spa medical center. We offer a lot of different stuff, from permanent makeup, different treatments for skincare, and we're working on a skin product line. So we're very excited about that.
Is this from your previous education?
This is actually, yes, you could say that. But it's been taking a while. Like this year, I've had to get a lot of licenses and get a lot of stuff to be able to have, you know, if you're going to own a business, you need to be able to do this and that to cover whatever doesn't, you know, whoever doesn't show up.
Sure.
So I've been getting a lot of licenses and all of that, but it's amazing. I love that world. You know, being also in just as a broadcaster, I'm always having to take care of my skin, of the way I look, of the way I feel. So, you know, I think it's just one thing led to the other. I've always said my biggest, which I shouldn't say it's a mistake, but one of the things I regret the most is I should have been a doctor, a plastic surgeon. I love that.
What is it specifically that you love?
Plastic surgery, like, and being able to help other people. You know, I feel that a lot of the things you project is the way you feel inside.
Oh, for sure.
So, you know, I don't care what they say. It does help. You know, I don't want to be superficial, but, you know, you see a female that gets her breast done, or even a cancer patient being able to, you know, do their plastic surgery and reform their body, you know, it boosts up their self-esteem. And you meet a girl before they had their breast done and after, and you right away, you see.
There's a sense of confidence.
Sure. You know, and I love that. And I love the beauty in just a human being, you know. And I've done a lot of stuff, like not plastic surgery. I had my breast done and my nose. But besides that, like I've done fitness competitions and I've challenged my body, and I see it in fighters all the time. You know, they're cutting weight, their body transforms the way that, you know, all those cycles that they go through when they're cutting weight and when they gain the weight and when their most muscles are big. And so the body is so amazing.
It is, isn't it?
It's incredible. And the way that it recovers from injuries and the way
how you can mold it.
Exactly. Like you can grow your muscles on, or, you know, I can do 1,000 squats and make my butt bigger. You know, like there's so many things that, and there's a science behind your muscles, and there's a science of molding the muscles. You know, it's incredible. And that's, if I could turn back time, I think that would have been something I for sure would have done. So this is like the closest I'm gonna be to being a plastic surgeon. You know, we do everything, or the plan is to have everything from Botox, fillers. Of course, we're gonna have a plastic surgeon in the, we're not doing plastic surgery for now, but that's the plan, you know, to grow it to where we were able to offer many different services in the beauty industry, from the basics, you know, from threading to waxing to, you know, to fillers, to Botox, to all of that. I love that. I feel it's great, and I just love seeing girls when they leave so happy.
Yeah, I think for you, the payoff is the plastic surgery is the avenue or the method. But the outcome that you're seeking is someone who may be struggling with their self-esteem.
Yes. Like one of the things I really want to focus, and I've always been, you know, a lot, you know, very into it, it's oncology. And one of the things I'm going to specialize myself personally, it's the oncology aesthetics. We don't have that many. And we do everything from, you know, with permanent makeup, we can do, we call it paramedics, which is like reconstruction of the nipples and stuff like that, and you tattoo that. So we help a lot of you know, cancer patients that need the reconstruction and and like scar camouflage and stuff like that. That's going to be something that I personally want to do, specialize and study more the, you know, the care of the skin. When you go through the whole process of chemo and everything, it's very different. You know, your skin is so different and so fragile after those, you know, therapies, that that's something that I personally want to do. So I'm getting all my esthetician, so I can do the oncology esthetician, which is like an advanced type of esthetician, and then you have to be registered with the Oncology Esthetician Association of the United States.
Sure.
And all of that. So that's something that not a lot of people offer. I do want to have a charity where these women do not have to worry about, you know, paying for their treatments or anything like that, and have a charity that takes care of everything and, you know, make them feel good about themselves and try to, you know, I feel that it has to be so hard. Imagine if you feel uncomfortable because your bikini doesn't look good on you on summer. How is that for these women that don't have a breast, you know, looking for a for the soulmate? You know, it's not easy to be able to take not off that, your body.
That, well, not that that should be the reason why your soulmate.
No, but you know,
it's a confidence
but
issue.
And probably the man doesn't even care. You know, because
degree,
they love them.
Degree,
yeah,
sure.
Because they love her and they accept whatever.
Totally.
And but for you as a female, I mean, I'm telling you, you get a pimple and you feel uncomfortable because you feel everybody's
well,
looking. That you, yeah, no, everybody, and you feel everybody's looking at your pimple. Imagine this woman. You know, it has to be crazy.
Gotcha.
Like I thank God I've never been through it, but I don't. I think you, until we're in those shoes, we'll never understand really the way it feels. And until you see the face of a woman that it's able to look down and say, oh my God, I have two nipples. You know, it's so simple for us because we just were born with them.
Sure.
But that's taken away from them. That thing that it's so normal and simple.
But when disease hits.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not for everybody. So.
Yeah.
So I feel that that's amazing, you know, being able to give comfort to the people that need it.
I can see your heart behind that. I appreciate that. That's beautiful, actually.
Yeah.
All right, so as we wrapped up this conversation, again, thank you so much for hanging out. I could talk to you for hours. I mean, very, very interesting stuff. I love it. What's one piece of advice or one life hack, shortcut, that you would give to our listeners, who the majority are entrepreneurs, Some are just starting, some are, you know, doing 6, 7, 8 figures a month. What would be one piece of advice that you would give that has helped you cultivate and really kind of direct you where you're headed?
If it makes you happy, don't stop what you're doing. You know, a lot of people give up because it's not making you enough money at the beginning, and you rather give up your happiness to make those numbers. You know, a lot, unfortunately, in our society, we are measured, our success is measured by the amount of money you have in an account.
Correct.
And that's not true. Really, we should be measured. Our success should be measured by the happiness we have. We have so many people, Kate Spade, for example, that have so much money in the account.
Sure.
And life is not worth it for them.
And look at what happened recently.
Exactly.
Anthony Bourdain, unfortunately,
took
his life today. One of my favorite personalities.
So, and we've seen it with so many celebrities. Money, you can't measure success by that. Because really the success, and it's in the Bible and it's everywhere. The true success is how much you get back and how happy you are. That's why we're here, to help others be the best they can be. Try to be the best you can be, but be happy. Being the best you can be is not being the biggest billionaire. That's not true. For me, it's not true success. What is it worth? And I've read it so many places that, you know, humans are so funny because we come here and we kill ourselves to make a lot of money, and then we spend all our money to try to get the health back because we never enjoyed ourselves and the money we made.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
So for me, that, you know, if you're happy, man, continue fighting for that goal. One day you're going to see that you're going to be able to, you know, have your job be what makes you happy and make so much money out of it. And if you're happy, you're going to make everybody around you happy. There's nothing worse than, you know, having a lot of money and being grumpy all the time and fighting with everybody around you. And, you know, that's why we see so many people by themselves, and they can't have a wife, and the kids don't want to be around them, because it's money. It's not everything. Success cannot be measured only on how much money you have in your account.
Very, very well said. Wow. Great conversation. Hey guys, when we return, this week's coaching tip to help you take your business to the next level. Thank you for listening to the Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs podcast with your host, nationally featured author, speaker, and online marketing strategist, David Ubeda. We'd love to hear from you. Visit our Facebook page right now and tell us about your favorite episode at Life Hacks for Entrepreneurs. And make sure to share this episode with someone else. This would also inspire. Until next time, continue to grind, grow, and give.